Buongiorno, Penguin Radio listeners. This is DJ Amore, and I'll be here every Wednesday live from 5 to 6 p.m. with my segment, The Travel Diaries. Each week, I'll tell you stories of my experience traveling and studying abroad, as well as some tips and fun facts. So to get going, I just want to give you a quick intro as to what I did last semester studying abroad. I was in Milan, Italia. It was an amazing experience, and it's somewhere I have always wanted to go. Ever since I was a freshman in high school, I have had the ambition to study abroad, and I finally had that opportunity happen last semester, spring semester. So about traveling, I decided to do this show because I had such a great time with all my travels. I went to about 8 different countries, and I just want to talk about that because it was a big part of my life when I was abroad. And to move on from why I wanted to travel, I'm going to go straight into Milan, why I wanted to go to Milan. I chose Milan, Italy as my destination for studying abroad because of its destination location. It was really close to the other countries I wanted to go to when I was picking places to go. I had different options. I was thinking about going to London, England. I was thinking about going to Paris, France. And for me, the big decision was I wanted to go somewhere that spoke another language and kind of give myself that challenge. So that's something I want to recommend to anyone that wants to, you know, go out and explore and like do what I did and study abroad, take those chances and those risks and put yourself in a situation you're not going to be comfortable in and then learn how to be. So another thing about why I went to Italy was something about Italy, just like the romance and the food and the different people there, it was always like calling to me. So the application process for going there was crazy hard, but it definitely isn't something that you should, you know, have discourage you. If you're a student here at Dominican and you haven't, you know, you've thought about wanting to study abroad, but haven't really been serious about it, go see Global Learning Office. They will help you so much with your application process. And it definitely is very complicated, but at the same time, like, you can push yourself to do it. Like, you'll get through it, and in the end, it is so worth it. Like, literally so worth it. Another thing I wanted to talk about was my day one, like, oh, sorry, passport struggles. That's how I want to start. When I was getting my passport, that was another complication. And I'm sorry, I don't want to, like, start my show with, you know, all these negative things I had to go through when I was planning my study abroad trip. But passports, that is something you, like, the first thing you want to think about when you're considering going abroad. I have never had to have a passport ever in my life. I have never left the country up until last semester. And going and doing that, I went with my mom because I really wasn't confident in myself that I could get a passport. What it was is you kind of just go into any postal office, you know, near your hometown or wherever you're living and tell them you want to get a passport. And they'll give you the application and you, like, sit there and fill it out. My tip for that, if you are thinking about going abroad or traveling anywhere that needs a passport, is to make an appointment with the passport office, with the post office, because it's crazy. You wouldn't think this, but there's always tons of people there waiting in line to get their passport application processed. But once you get that done, that's like the hardest thing to do, because that takes about 4 to 6 months, a long time. Like, sorry, not 4 to 6 months, 4 to 6 weeks. That's still a long time, though. For mine, it only took 4 weeks, and I was really excited about it because at the same time, I also had to apply for a student visa. And you need one of those if you're going to live in a country as a student for more than 4 months, which is what I did. I was a foreign exchange student, and there are lots of things about that tie together with getting a passport. So it's another component to putting that into your passport and, like, having all of it set up. And it's really exciting when you actually get your passport in the mail. I mean, it was so exciting for me because I've never had something like that happen, and it kind of made the whole thing real. Like, I started to realize that I really was going to study abroad and, like, going to Europe, something I have always wanted to do since I was, I don't know, maybe, like, 13 in high school. And so, again with the passports, I had a friend of mine that really wanted to do it as well. Like, she wanted to come visit me when I was in Italy, but she kind of put it off for a while, like, getting the passport, and it ended up not working out because, you know, if you put it off for too long, especially even planning a trip, that kind of stuff happens, and it's a really big letdown. So that's just one of my, like, tips I want to give people who are planning on traveling abroad or going anywhere outside of the United States. And then my next thing I want to discuss that I had real big struggles with, literally huge struggles, was packing. Packing for a trip like that probably was just, honestly, I put it off for the longest time. Put it off for so long, in fact, that I put it off till the day before I left. That's right, the day before. I had two giant red suitcases. That's another thing, fun tip. When you're traveling, you want to have some kind of luggage that stands out, so you don't have a bunch of black suitcases when you're looking for your suitcase and you get confused which one is yours. So I had these big red suitcases, and I was so nervous about going and when it was actually becoming real that I just didn't pack until the day before. And I just want to give a shout out to my dad and my two best friends, Cassandra and Laura. They stayed up with me most of the night packing all of my stuff. Again, another tip for y'all. Don't be like me and procrastinate till the very last minute packing, because it is a tad stressful, but at the same time, definitely worth it. When I was packing, I just want to talk about, you know, how to pack, like the certain different ways you can pack, because I, you know, the stressful part for me was how much stuff I wanted to take with me. I had so many things I wanted to take with me. Pretty much, I had to take outfits for spring, like cold weather, because it was kind of snowing there, had like the week before I was going, so it had snow, it was like raining, I had to bring like rain boots, and had to think about when I was there for the summer, like springtime towards the end of my trip, so I had to bring like sandals, and it was just an array of different kinds of clothing. You will not believe how stressful that can be. So my friend actually told me this way of packing. You lay out, you like roll up your clothes and like put them on the bottom of the suitcase, and that's usually like shirts, sweaters, you know, like undergarments, socks, stuff like that. Then you take your pants and you fold them on top of the rolled up shirts, half hanging out of the suitcase and then half in the suitcase, and then put up some more rolled shirts and sweaters on top of that. And then whatever else you can fit. I had, you know, like notebooks, because again, I wasn't sure what I would need when I got there, because I never left the country before. So, you know, thinking about it, it wasn't something I had considered, if, you know, maybe they had. Side note, I'm glad I did do that, because they did not have notebooks there when I got there. And anyway, so you put that kind of stuff in there, you know, your travel chargers, those are really important. The adapters were, because they have different plugs in Europe and all over the other parts of the world, so you got to remember to bring those. So those fit in there pretty good. And you also, once you have all that in there, then you fold the parts of the pants that are laying on the floor over those other clothes, and it fits like a glove. It was the perfect way to pack. It helped me so much and really made the whole stress of packing and, like, pretty much the whole stress of me, like, getting ready to leave my home and having only this, like, you know, for me, I know two suitcases sounds like really, really like a lot, but for me, it wasn't anything. Like, I have so much stuff, not to sound like, you know, all of myself or whatever, but I have so much stuff that what I had to, like, concise down to take with me for this trip was definitely hard. So having that, like, different kind of travel, like, how to pack, it was really helpful. And I'm so glad my friends were there to help me. They are just literally the best. And another thing about packing is I also was able, you know, you got to know when you're getting on your flight what kind of suitcases you can have. Because with these two big suitcases, I had to pay extra for one and the other was free. So that's something you want to check on before you get on your flight. And then the other thing is that I was allowed to have one carry-on bag and a purse. Well, fun story about that. When I got on my flight, my purse didn't fit underneath the seat, so I had to cram it in there and then put my feet on top the whole plane ride. And then I also had my carry-on bag that went on top of the, you know, the seats above. If you've ever been on a plane, if you haven't, they're little storage cubbies above the seats, and that's where you put your, you know, one free carry-on bag. But my purse, I had to put under my seat, and it was kind of cramped. But again, I'm not the best packer. If you haven't gotten that from this little montage I've told you about packing, I'm not the best packer, so I made it work. I like put all the things I needed in there, and it ended up being okay, a little tight squeeze. But for the most part, once I got the packing done with my dad and my friends, I had like a huge relief lifted off my shoulders. Like when you are doing something like that and like you've been dreading it, not dreading it so much as excited about it, but also dreading it because of the idea of packing can just be so heavy on you, any kind of packing, and not just going away for 4 months and having all your, like, you know, possessions you need, but packing in general. I don't know about any of you listening out there, but for me it was literally the biggest issue. Anyway, I am going to play some travel tunes for you now, and we'll be right back. I'm DJ Amore, telling you to get up and go explore, and you're listening to Penguin Radio. Hey guys, you're listening to Travel Diaries. I'm DJ More. And before we had the break, I was talking about the plane, like my plane ride. And I just want to get back to that real quick. So tell you more about it specifically. That was my day one. And seeing as this is the Travel Diaries, I'm going to try and have my diaries go through the montages of how, you know, my days and weeks went while I was abroad. So day one, my flight to Milan. When I woke up that morning, my dad and I got up, I think, at 5 o'clock in the morning to drive from my hometown of Sacramento all the way to SFO, San Francisco International Airport. And I was a nervous wreck, like a ball of nerves. I was worse than I was the night before with the packing because it had finally hit me that I was going on my trip abroad. And I'm just going to go through the whole story pretty much. So on the drive over, I literally was like, my stomach was just like all over the place. And I was really tired, obviously, because I hadn't gotten a lot of sleep the night before. And my dad, you know, I love my dad so much. And we're really close. And, you know, he's driving me and telling me, just stay calm. Like, it'll be fine. Like, you know, we're all going to miss you so much. But, you know, just focus right now on the getting there part. So we're driving there, I get to the airport, he helps me get to my terminal, check in, and, you know, I was fine the whole way there. I was fine with the going to security and the bag check, but once I got to my gate to go to my flight, I just started bawling. Like, I was a wreck. Could not stop crying, and him and I, like, we get emotional like that sometimes, but not to that extent. So then he starts crying, and then we're making a whole scene in the airport. And at that point, I was like, it doesn't even matter because I'm going to miss him so much. But he really was such a help to me getting to my flight. But, you know, once that was over and I got through that, I boarded onto my plane and I thought I was going to have a window seat. So I was looking forward to that. But then I get on the plane and that is not what happened. I had the middle seat in a row of four in the very back of the plane. And I had boarded kind of late on the plane, so that was the whole situation before, and I was saying that my luggage wasn't going to fit because I had two carry-on bags, so I got one in the storage head above, but the other one I had had to go underneath my seat, and it was a cramped ride the whole way. I was flying with British Airways, which is pretty exciting because I have always wanted to go to London, England, so having people who were on the flight who had, like, the British accents was really exciting for me. And, you know, they were really nice, the airline people. They helped me a lot with the whole getting the pillow and, like, getting situated. And then I realized that I was, you know, literally leaving California, like, leaving the United States on a 12-hour flight across the country, over the ocean to London Heathrow Airport. Pretty much the entire flight, I slept and, oh, side note, another shout out to my best friend Raquel. Her and I went to Disneyland a few years ago and got these Minnie Mouse pillow pets. I had that with me the entire flight. It was my best friend. I literally was like squeezing onto that the whole way and it really helped calm my nerves. So if you're ever, you know, as nervous as you think I'm sounding now, as nervous as you probably will be when you go somewhere, have something like that because it really does help with the whole process of doing something on your own because that was the biggest thing for me. I had never left the country. And here I am by myself going abroad and literally had no idea what to expect. And that probably scared me the most because, yeah, I know life is pretty much about not knowing what to expect. But with this situation, I really was just so stressed out about that. Did not know what to expect. So I had my mini pillow pet with me. And I know some of you listeners might be thinking that that's for children. But in my opinion, it's not. I am 22 and I love that pillow pet to death. So just put that out there. Moving on though, so when I finally landed in London Heathrow Airport, I, you know, started feeling a little better. I had some food in me, and, you know, was like, had some, like, you know, 12-hour sleep. I was slept pretty much the whole entire way. I slept so much that I missed one of the meals they gave us. They gave us three meals on the flight. Oh, that too. If you ever fly somewhere, go with British Airways. They are the best. They give you food and, you know, for those of you who are of age, and when it's with a European flight, it's 18, they give you wine on the side. So I took a few bottles of those with me on my carry-on bag. Not to, like, say that, not to say that I'm an alcoholic or anything. But anyway, that was kind of fun. Haven't ever had that happen before. So, you know, they're really small. They were, like, probably 4 ounces, and they only had, like, 4% alcohol compared to, like, what you usually get in a wine bottle. But anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there. So when I got to London Heathrow Airport, I thought when I got there, I had an hour after I landed to get from the gate that I landed at to my next gate to get onto my flight from London to Milan. Well, guess what? That was not what happened. I had 20 minutes to run from Terminal C across the airport to Terminal A to get on my flight to Milan. It was crazy. I was just that American girl running down the hallways of Heathrow Airport with my mini pillow pet and my carry-on bags flying everywhere, trying to make this flight because I was really worried that if I got stuck in London, what was I going to do? Because, you know, I didn't even know what I was going to do when I got to Milan. I had no game plan for London Heathrow Airport. But luckily, I made it there on time. The flight was delayed, so I got on that flight, and finally, luck came through for me, and I got a window seat. Side note, though, I had two carry-on bags, and this was a smaller flight, so they made me check one of my carry-on bags, and I had to pay for that. So back to the packing thing before, really, pack lightly, like lighter than I did, because then you're going to have to do what I did and pay extra money to check the carry-on bag. But so once I got in the flight to Milan, it was like really, really setting in for me that I was about to be in Italy. And I didn't sleep the entire flight. It was another 2 hours, so I had a total of 14 hours traveling time. The time difference there was about 9 hours, I'm pretty sure. I think that was before there was the time change. So it was a 9-hour time difference. And for me, it was already like early in the morning back in California. But when I got to the airport, this was the kicker. This was the unknown that I wasn't sure about. Previously, before my father and I were booking my flight to get to Milan, we had booked the wrong flight. We booked it for a different airport, and the airport I was supposed to go to was where the school I was attending for that semester had a car service that was going to pick me up and take me to my living, like where I was going to stay in Italy. But I didn't know that once I bought my flight. So again, disclaimer, when you're planning these trips, plan it out to the T, because things like this happen. And I was at a smaller airport, and when I got off the plane, I had to find myself a ride to the dorms that I was staying at. And it was in the middle of Milan, like central Milan where my dorms was. And finding a taxi my first day, having just got there, it was so nerve-wracking because most people in Italy speak Italian. A few like will speak English with you, and they're really nice, and they, you know, they try to help you. Most people, I mean, tell me about that. Most people try. But other than that, it was, I walked out of the terminal and there's white taxis and yellow taxis and black taxis and Mercedes taxis and Toyota Prius taxis. And that was a real shocker for me too, seeing American cars. I mean, I figured, you know, that's kind of normal here, but I didn't think it would be in Italy. They have so many of their own kinds of, you know, cars that I thought it would all be the same. But it was a bunch of different ones, and I was so confused and really lost as to what I should do. So I went back inside the terminal to an information desk and finally find someone that spoke English, and they helped me get into a taxi. Unfortunately for me, the taxi was a Mercedes and it was quite expensive. I'm totally comfortable telling you how expensive it was. It was 65 euro. That in American dollars is about, I think, $90. I can't really be sure about that. I don't have a calculator with me right now, but it was a lot. It was about a 45-minute car ride, and the driver didn't speak a lick of English, so it was just awkward silence the whole entire way. And the only thing I had to tell him was the address I had been given by my host school in Milan to where I was living. So after that happened, he finally dropped me off at my dorm, and I knew what it looked like because I had previously Googled searched it. And after listening to this, I'm sure you're probably now realizing that I try and plan ahead. Doesn't always go the way that I hope it will, but I knew what the building looked like. So once I got there, I was just saying, praise the Lord, thank God, I actually made it to Italy. I know where I'm living. And once I got inside, I got all situated. And at that point, after I filled out paperwork and was like getting my room card key and telling me, you know, welcome to Milan, like this is where you're staying, here's your room. A really tall girl walked up to me, and I never seen it before, obviously, because I just got there. And she had like red hair and was like super tall, Caucasian. And she walks up to me and she goes, hi, I'm new here. Like, I wanted to ask you if you were too. And I said, yeah, I'm American. I'm from California. And she's like, awesome. I'm from Washington. And Washington, D.C. Sorry, not Washington, the state, Washington, D.C. And she and her dad were there. He had come with her to help her move into her room. She was living in my building. And she was the nicest person. She helped me so much. She helped me and her father also. Helped me carry my huge suitcases. Mind you, she did not pack as much as I did. They helped me carry my two huge suitcases and my other two carry-on bags to my room on the fourth floor. And there is an elevator in that building when I was living there. But that day, it was not working. So I had to find two Italian boys who were living in that building to help me carry these suitcases up the stairs, as well as my new friend's father and her. I was so embarrassed. I felt so bad because, you know, that probably isn't a normal thing for people there. They pack lightly because they can go all over the country of Europe, the continent of Europe, and have no kinds of issues with packing like that. But they saw me with my two bright red suitcases and were just, you know, probably having fits when I was gone. And so about my dorm building and about this girl I met, she and I just hit it off great. Her and I got pizza that night. And we, you know, we were down the hall from each other. We were floor mates. And the thing about my dorm room was that it was the international floor. There were only four floors, but it was a pretty big kind of building, the way it wrapped around the whole entire place that it was in the lot that it was in. We're on the international floor, so there's a bunch of different kinds of people from all over the world there. And her and I were the first ones there. And she really, like, calmed me down with, like, the things she had done. She would tell me about grocery stores she had been to where I could find things I hadn't brought with me. That's right. I did not bring some things with me. I know. Crazy. But she helped me with that. And I just want to talk about my dorms real quick, too. But, like, where you stay is kind of important because you're going to, especially if you're a exchange student, where are you going to stay for a good amount of time? I was there for 4 months. It's really important. And I did have a say in it when I was contacting my school in Milan. The place I was staying, I wasn't sure about it at first. It was a dorm building. I was hoping I could live in an apartment with roommates because when you're a new person, like even a freshman on campus, you want to live with people so you can make those friends. So that was my motivation behind living in an apartment. But that's not what happened for me. I ended up putting into the dorm buildings, which were single dorm buildings. So I had a room to myself. And I was kind of bummed about it at first, but once I got there, I was so happy with the results. It was a one-bedroom complex that I was living in with its own bathroom and a hallway of, like, 15 people. So even though I didn't actually have a roommate, I had other people in the hallway with me that I could talk to whenever I wanted, you know, go hang out with them, make dinner with, because there was a kitchen along with the in the hallway. And it was pretty awesome. Like, I heard other people's stories who lived in the apartments once I met some people in Milan at the school that I went to when I was there, and they had some really bad living situations. So I was really excited with the fact that I had a great room and great people living with. And, you know, the school I went to, Universidad Católica, it was an amazing campus. And the people there were so nice. I had international classes, which just pretty much means that they're in English instead of Italian. I did take some Italian classes. Unfortunately, I cannot show you any of that right now because I didn't really remember any of it. It was only 2 weeks long, guys, okay? Give me some slack. And so for the school I went to, Universidad Católica, it was beautiful. It was an amazing campus. They had, you know, it was kind of like the way you see in movies, you know, when you look at places in Italy, the old structure with, like, the bell tower and the bricks everywhere and people courtyards and this just beautiful, just a beautiful campus. And I had such an amazing time at that school. But just those first few days, I was really excited to see the campus. So I kind of went the same day I got there, a little ahead of myself, but it was a good time. And right now, I will definitely come back to this topic, but I'm going to take a quick break. I hope you're enjoying listening to my show, The Travel Diaries, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Thank you.
Cuéntame, es que no puedo aceptar tu talking about the fellas.
You're listening to Travel Diaries on Penguin Radio. I'm DJ Amore, and if you're just tuning in, before the break, I was talking about my host university in Milan, Italia. It was Cattolica Universidad in Milan, and I had met some great people there. It was a really good time. I just want to do a shout out real quick to all my friends in Milan and all my friends that are all over the country. I miss you guys so much. Hopefully I can talk to you real soon. But anyway, I want to talk about my next segment. I was going to go into the sights of Milan. My school, Università Cattolica, was definitely a beautiful site to go to. If you're ever in Milan, swing by, check it out. Really one of the most beautiful schools. It's actually one of the most competitive schools in Europe, just in case you didn't know that. Throwing that out there. And I didn't know that when I was going there. It was pretty interesting to learn once I was. And again, with the sights, There actually were a lot of different places to go. There were all kinds of museums and parks. There were a lot of like music houses, like theaters, lots of squares. Milan, by the way, is the fashion capital of the world. So getting with that, I want to talk about the Duomo. The Duomo is the Cathedral of Milan. This cathedral is, again, probably one of the most beautiful places I ever saw on my trips, on any of my trips I took when I was abroad. It had such character to it, and you could just feel like, you know, its history. It was actually erected in 1386, and it was completed in 1965. And that's a really long time, in my opinion. I just actually found that out. And I'm assuming that is because it was, the original structure was smaller and they just kind of kept building on it for all those years. But my point to saying this is that you could see it. You could literally see the history and like how long it took them to make this beautiful piece of architecture, this beautiful place. And it just so happens that the Duomo of Milan is in one of the biggest piazzas in Milan, and this is like pretty much the hub of fashion for the central city of Milan. There were all kinds of high-end fashion stores like Prada, Gucci, Louis Vuitton. And another thing too is that right across the street from the Duomo was the Teatro della Scala. It just means the Theater Scala. It's the number one theater in the whole entire world. And I actually was lucky enough to have the opportunity to go to a ballet there. I went to go see The Nutcracker in Italian, which I cannot tell you the name of in Italian. It was really, really long. Sorry about that. Maybe next time. But it was such an amazing performance. I was so excited to be going and seeing it. I went with one of my friends I had met in my dorm. You know, it was like a good bonding kind of experience. And something about it was just really comforting to, because I used to do ballet when I was younger. I did it for, I don't even know, half my life, since I was about 2 to 16, really a long time. So it means a lot to me. And the fact that I had the chance to go see a ballet in Europe was amazing. And I definitely recommend that to anybody that ever goes out and travels the world and wants to go do stuff like that. Definitely make time to go to Milan and go to the Teatro della Scala. And then once you're done with your show, walk down the piazza and go to the Duomo. And the Duomo actually gives tours, so you can go inside and like see the, you know, all the pews in the front of the church. If any of you aren't, you know, familiar with Catholicism, I'm actually Catholic, so I know a bit about it. And when you go inside these churches, you have to be really quiet because there are people in there who are, you know, doing prayer, and they're there for the mass. So there's no flash photography. They actually have security outside waiting for you to check your bags and make sure you're not carrying any kind of weapons. So, you know, it's just kind of preserving the history and the safety and security of these churches. And this is all over Europe, not just in Italy. And Italy is one of the biggest places this is going to happen because of, you know, Rome. Rome is in Italy, and that's where the Vatican is, and that's like the hub of Catholicism. But in Italy, it is really important there. But anywhere else you go to, any other kind of churches you go to around the world, especially in Europe, it'll be the similar kind of situations. But with the Duomo, I really wanted to talk about that in this segment because it meant a lot to me. It was kind of like my symbol for Milan. Whenever I think about my time in Milan and I want an image, that's what I picture. My time there, you know, I'd go there all the time with my friends. There was all kinds of like shopping, like I said before, and all kinds of places to eat, and you know, just really beautiful views. And the different kind of people that I met there were just kind of astounding. Like, there was people from all over the world in just one place, just one square, this one piazza, and you would hear all kinds of different languages, not just Italian, not just English, but, you know, Japanese and Vietnamese, and what else? There was some Spanish going on. You know, it was really interesting to me, and definitely a culture shock because I'd never really been around that to that extent. So having experienced it in this place was really just kind of eye-opening. And when it comes to the sites I saw in Milan, the Duomo is definitely one of my main ones I would tell anybody to go do. Like, put it on your bucket list, go there, cross it off. Great time. But as I was saying before about food, I'm going to move on to that now. Food in Italy. Oh my gosh. I don't even know how to start this. Food in Italy. Pretty much, Italy is food. If you think about Italy, you got to think about food. I call it the three P's. Here we go. Pizza, pasta, and paninis. Let me tell you guys, you might think that's a stereotype, that Italian people only eat those things. It's not a stereotype. It's the truth. They really only eat pizza, pasta, and paninis. I was not expecting that when I was there. But pretty much everywhere I went, there was pizza, pasta, and paninis. And, you know, there obviously was different kinds of food in Italy and in Milan. They had, you know, Chinese food. They definitely had lots of sushi. It was awesome having sushi there. Sushi was perfect there. You could eat all you want, pay a, you know, flat rate. And the downside was if you didn't finish the sushi, you had to pay for the extra sushi. But the upside is you just kind of shoved it in your purse if you have a purse and call it a day. But moving on back to pasta, back to, like, you know, actual Italian food. I was really surprised by the fact that it was literally, that's it. Like, you know, when you think about what kind of other food Italian people eat, it really was just those things. But on the upside, They were great, amazing. The pizza there, I literally have dreams about it. I'm not kidding, dreams. Like, so once I got home and had pizza here, it was kind of a letdown. And let me tell you why. I'm just gonna give you a visual right now. Pizza there is like a cloud, like a fluffy cloud of just cheese and tomato sauce, and it is the best thing you will have, besides the dessert. Let me go to that real quick. Tiramisu, oh my gosh. I probably shouldn't be talking about this, because I'm letting all of you know how much I ate when I was in Italy. But anyway, if you ever go there, have the tiramisu. It is delicious. It's pretty much just like this, like, coffee. Not so much coffee. It's mostly chocolate. There's a little bit of coffee. So if you're not a coffee drinker, it's no big deal. You probably won't even notice. But it's mostly, like, chocolate with marzipan, which is, like, almost like a Cool Whip, but way better. And this kind of, like, cookie, that kind of like a sponge cookie. And, like, whipped cream on top with some cinnamon and some, like, nutmeg. So good. I had it as much as I possibly could, because I know I will never get anything even close to that anywhere else but Italy. Same goes for like the pizza I said before and pasta. If you are ever dying to have good food like that, you gotta make a trip to go to Italy and then eat everything in sight. Another thing is I want to talk about with food. So for those of you Dominican students who are tuning in right now, if you're thinking about studying abroad, here's something you should probably know. If you're going to be an exchange student, which pretty much just means that another student's going to come take your spot at Dominican and you'll go take their spot at the school you're going to, there's these thing called meal tickets. They're what they call your average day meal plan, but I found out that it's not even close. You're pretty much going to pay not even half. Like what you pay at Dominican, you won't even get half that for these meal tickets. And these meal tickets, they were quite interesting. It's kind of like free food, but not really, because they only gave you a certain amount. So if you weren't like me, and I did hear some horror stories about people using these meal tickets literally in 1 month. If you weren't like me and rationed those out, pretty much you get 10 and you have 2 for the 4 months you're there, then you just don't have any food. Like, you got to figure out what you're going to do. And it honestly was just so interesting to me having these meal plan things, like these tickets, like it's kind of like coupons. It's like what you think of a coupon here, but you just give it to these different kinds of restaurants and places, and they'll just, you know, give you the food, like you just paid for it that way. And I just want to throw that out there for any people who are thinking about studying abroad, because you really probably want to look into that. It's different with every single school you go to, but when you really want to think about how you're going to eat your next meal when you're abroad, you gotta think about your own finances, so like what kind of, you know, how much money you have to spend on food, and then what kind of food you'll get from your exchange program. But for now, I'm gonna take another quick break. Thank you for listening. I'm DJ Amore. This is the Travel Diaries, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Crisis. I believed all of your dreams are duration. You took my heart, all my keys, and my patience. You took my heart, I must leave a decoration. You mistaken my love, I brought for you for foundation. All that I wanted from you was to give me something that I never had, something that you never seen, something that you never been. Mm-hmm. But I wake up and nothing's wrong. Just get ready. Against you, I just hope that
trying, baby. I've been wild, 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 wild. It's me, I've been wild, 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 wild. You see me do my da, 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 da. So me put that wild, 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 wild. When you walk out, la, 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 la. When the car from la, ta, 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 ta.
Yeah, okay. You need to get done, 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 done. At work, come over. We just need to slow the motion. Don't get out of the way to no one. Long distance, I need you. When I see potential, I just gotta see it through. If you had a twin, I would still choose you. I don't wanna rush into it if it's too soon. But I know you need to get done, 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 done. If you come over. Sorry if I'm way less friendly. Oh, yeah. I spilled all my emotions tonight, I'm sorry. Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 rolling. We just need a face to face. You could pick the time and the place. You'll spend some time away. Now you need to forward and give me all the work, 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 work.
It's me up there, work, 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 work. It's me doing my da, 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 da. So me better.
You're back with DJ Amori on Penguin Radio, and this is the Travel Diaries. Before the break, we were talking about food and the different sites you can see when you're in Milan, but now I'm going to move it on real quickly to transportation. That is a big thing when you're in different countries, and I'm going to probably talk about it in every single one of my segments that I have. And so about transportation in Milan, it was actually, let me tell you, the easiest transportation I ever encountered in all of my travels. I went to 7 different countries, had to do public transportation for every single one, and I don't know if it was because I lived in Milan for 4 months or because I just got, like, you know, it was just easier, you know, end of story. It was just easier. It was the easiest kind of transportation I ever encountered. I was definitely very nervous about it when I had, you know, when I got to Milan with the whole taxi situation. If you weren't in before, I had to take a taxi to get to my dorm when I arrived. And since that didn't go very well for me, I decided to get a metro card. And a metro card in Milan is pretty much your lifeline. That is how you're going to get to and from everywhere that you can't walk to. Another thing, walking is the number one transportation in Europe, if you didn't know that. It's a little fun fact. Number one mode of transportation. I can actually attest to this. I did more walking than anything else. More walking than my flights I took to different places. More walking than the metro, than taxis and the buses. But on that note, it's still good to have this metro card. And pretty much anywhere you go, you can get a metro card. But from Milan, it was really important for me because I had to get from my dorm building to my school. I was kind of lucky because it only took about 10 minutes to get from my building to my school on the metro. But it was a bit confusing learning at first because of the different kinds of lines there are. They do them by color and by name. All of it was in Italian. That took a little while for me to figure out. But once you get the hang of it, I pretty much just get on the red line from my dorm room, which was on Buonarroti. And I take about 3 stops to Centrale, which is pretty much means central part of the metro for Milan. And then I take the green line 2 more stops to get to Porta Venezia, which is where my school was. And it was, honestly, once I got the hang of it, really easy. I loved doing it. I had never had that kind of experience before with transportation because living in California, like most of you know, who are my listeners in California, you have a car or you have friends that have a car or some other kind of way. You can Uber, you can do Lyft, and you're pretty much in a car going anywhere or walking. But in Europe, it's, you know, they don't really have the space for people to have a bunch of cars, and there's always traffic. So public transportation is literally just gold down there. And that was something I noticed about cultural differences. I'm going to move into that real quick. Cultural differences out there. That was a huge one for me. Just the fact that I could get on a metro, no problem. And be in a car with a bunch of different people that I never met before. But just, you know, people watch kind of a thing. It was really different for me. And I know you can do public transportation out here in California. But there it was completely different. You know, it wasn't just a bus or a taxi. It was, you know, kind of like a subway, but a little better. I did have some experience with the subway last year when I was in New York City for an occasion, family occasion, but this was just its own thing entirely. And I honestly think that with the cultural differences I went through, it's kind of something where it's like culture shock. Like, you're going to experience that wherever you go. Wherever you go, wherever you're traveling to, there's going to be those different cultural experiences and that shock of being somewhere else and seeing different kinds of people. And I just was lucky enough to be in a country that was really accepting of that and helped me a lot with the different kinds of, you know, not knowing Italian but trying and learning it a little bit. And it honestly, I can tell you, it will be fine. Like, I encourage everyone to get up and go explore, and, you know, don't say you can't do it, because you can. I made it happen. I always said I was never going to, but I made it happen. I know lots of people that have made it happen, and you can. So anyway, to hear more of my travel diaries, tune in next week at 5 p.m. on Wednesdays, where I will be traveling to the fair city of Verona, Italy. This has been DJ Amore on Penguin Radio. Arrivederci.
Mister todo el mundo, el taxi sensato del patio. Queremos darle una bienvenida a todas las mujeres que hacen vino por todo el mundo.
Yo la conocí en un taxi.